You're listening to a Clare FM podcast. Morning Focus broadcasts weekdays from 9am to 12 midday.
A very different matter now, and this night next week, Monday, November 19th, we'll see a meeting held in Limerick by the Senator Francis Black. What we saw in Palestine, why Ireland must act against injustice. Senator Black has been one of the driving forces behind a bill which aims to ban Israeli settlement goods from this country. It has yet to fully pass through the houses of the Oireachtas, however. Senator Francis Black, good morning to you.
Good morning, Gavin. How are you?
I'm good, and thank you very much for joining us. You were in Palestine recently?
I was. I suppose when I got elected into the Seanad, I was asked would I consider becoming the chairperson of Friends of Palestine group in the Oireachtas. So I agreed to do that, and kind of obviously I'd been very, I suppose, passionate about the Palestinian situation for a long, long time. But as part of that, you get to meet lots of different people. You get lots of people, particularly coming over from Palestine. Mm. And then in May of this year, I was very fortunate to be able to go to Palestine. I went over to the West Bank, which was just an incredible experience, and I also got into Gaza. And both of those experiences, I don't think I'll ever, it'll stay with me for the rest of my days, I'll ever experience anything like it. It was just, like, I knew it was bad, Gavin, but when you see it with your own eyes, it's just devastating. And to see the injustice that's going on over there, and the torment that the terror actually that the Palestinian people are going through. I went to Gaza first, and I couldn't believe I got into Gaza, because it is like getting into a prison. You would get into any of the prisons here in Ireland much easier. You know, you have to go through so much security
on the Israeli side, obviously.
Oh, 100%. And like, you know, when we arrived in Tel Aviv, Tel Aviv is a flourishing city, and, you know, palm trees and beautiful beaches and lovely houses and apartments and big shopping centres. And then you go out to the places like 30 minutes away to where you're going into Gaza. And it was just shocking, to be honest with you, when we went through all of the security. Then you have to go through.
What about it shocked you in particular? Like, most people listening to this won't have been there. What about it shocked you in particular?
Well, I suppose when you get there, it's like a big old kind of, almost like airport terminal, but prison-like building, if you know what I mean. A lot of security around it. And you go into there and you have to go through a series of different interviews. And then you obviously have to get your bags go through, you know, a few times, security. And then when you get, you have to kind of walk through all different, it's just a very bleak, almost ghost-like, eerie feeling that you have to go through. And when you go through all of that, and it takes a while, then you walk through a tunnel that's like covered in barbed wire, and it's like no man's land. You're walking into no man's land. And when you come out the other side, you have to go through more security to get into Gaza. But it's the deprivation, the difference in the two sides, you know, I was shocked, you know, like no road, proper road structures, a lot of very, very dilapidated building. You see old women with little donkeys on tiny horse and carts with hay on the back, or donkeys and a little cart with hay on the back and sitting, and you might have the child with her. It was like, I could only imagine what Ireland was like maybe 130 years ago, you know. Now, there are cars there, obviously, but when we drove, then we went into kind of the centre, and there's just no road structures on it. Everybody's just driving everywhere, and then you get in there, and we met with a group of NGOs who are just, you can see by them, they're just exhausted with the issues that they have to deal with, the poverty, particularly the mental health, and those feelings of hopelessness for the people. Because you have to understand, there's 2 million people living in an area that's the size of half of the size of County Louth, for example. So they're all on top of each other. They've only got electricity for 2 hours a day, which means that, you know, for say the farmers, for example, they have to go out and lie in the fields waiting for this electricity to come on for whatever reason. You have people staying in their homes. They're very, very, you know, I mean, they're like little huts, some of them, staying in their homes waiting for this electricity to come on because they want to plug in their phones. They want to connect with the outside world, particularly with family members in other parts of, you know, maybe over in the West Bank, you know, to do their washing, whatever it might be. Their water is polluted. But I think it's the lack and the unemployment. I mean, it's over 50% of unemployment, particularly for young people. So there's this sense of kind of hopelessness. They're not allowed in or out. Mm. You know, medical care for children is almost non-existent. It's just awful. And we went up to the border protest actually a week before. I think it was over 100 people murdered, or maybe less than 100 people murdered.
Yeah, there was significant violence for a couple of Fridays in a row, as I recall.
And then we went over to the West Bank, and the terror that the people over there are going through. I'm not exaggerating this. You know, I'm really not exaggerating.
I've given you the space to tell us about it, because I think your experiences are very important for the context of this conversation. I suppose I do have to point out that if there were some people on a different point of view, they might say Israel needs to put into security because of the countless number of occasions in which it has been targeted by terrorists from Palestine, as they would see it.
Sure, and I understand that. But you understand that the people who are doing the border protests are just ordinary, everyday people. When we went up to the border protest, it was almost a festival-like atmosphere, in the sense that they had a little bit of hope. All they were doing was marching to the border because of the Great Return, to celebrate, certainly to mark the Great Return March. Mm. So these are families.
But it was an antagonistic, it could be argued it was an antagonistic
unarmed
act
people,
as well. I understand that they were unarmed, but they were also going to a point of confrontation.
But do you understand the hopelessness that these people are feeling?
Oh, I do, and I don't want this to become a...
Water is turned off, their electricity is turned off, they have no medical care. It's really unbelievably, I mean, and then I have to talk about what I saw on the West Bank, which what I believe is an apartheid regime. The people who live on the West Bank, which is kind of on the other side, are not allowed to drive down their own roads. So this is Palestine. It's meant to be a two-state solution, and they're not able to drive. They're actually pulled out of their own houses. They're, you know, it's just like the apartheid South Africa situation. And I really believe that what's going on over there, there's a huge injustice, and Europe, nobody is doing anything about it. That was the one thing that people said to me when we were at the NGOs. They said, why are the international community doing nothing to help us?
Mm. And is that why
I spoke with an organisation called Breaking the Silence, who are ex-Israeli soldiers. And they said to me, one of them, they started this organisation because they couldn't live with themselves, and they had to do something when they left the army. And they started this, this man contacted other ex-Israeli soldiers. And he told me, and it was really upsetting, that the first night he was commissioned, he was told to shoot at the Palestinian houses. This is in Hebron. And shoot randomly, you know. And he said eventually it just became just like video games, you know. They were also told to make their presence felt. And this is going on today, where they in the middle of the night, they kick in doors of Palestinian people, they terrorize, and these are innocent people, terrorize them, and then just to make sure that all the other people in that area hear them. Mm-hmm. So it's just, there's a huge injustice. They're not allowed to drive down their own roads. They're not able to...
I want to be clear, I'm not condoning any of this, by the way, in saying
no,
what I'm saying.
I hear what you're saying.
I'm asking questions as is befitting the role. But maybe the latter part of what you have just told us in terms of the hopelessness of the people and why they're concerned that the international community aren't acting, is that why you're pushing and advocating for support for a bill to ban the importation of goods from settlement areas of Israel? I mean, can Ireland really make a difference here?
Oh, 100%. I mean, there's no doubt about it that we can lead on this legislation. I mean, you know what happened in the 80s with apartheid South Africa, they said it would break EU rules and isolate Ireland internationally, but it didn't happen. We stood up for human rights and justice, and we charted a path for the world to follow. And that's what I would like to do with this legislation. And just to let people know what the legislation is. And again, it's not BDS. Sometimes people get a little bit worried that it's BDS, but it's actually, the bill seeks to end Irish trades in goods produced in the illegal settlements in occupied territories. So we're not talking about Israeli goods. And, you know, the settlements are totally illegal under international law. They're actually war crimes. And the UN and the EU and Irish government keep saying they're illegal. But,
and are we importing many goods from these areas?
Well, the goods, it's not practically, it's about 500,000 to 1 million settlement goods that come in from those areas. So
okay.
It's not a huge amount of money.
It's
they're
statement.
Like mainly fruit and vegetables, oranges, dates, herbs, avocados and potatoes and stuff like that. You know, there are some extremely valuable beauty products from Ahava Cosmetics. They're produced on stolen land by the Dead Sea, and then some garden furniture. So it's very low. And it won't cost any jobs. It's just about saying that Ireland will no longer support this injustice. Like, the value of the South African goods in the 80s was also small, but it was about standing up for what's right.
Sure. And I know you've compared the situation to the likes of the Dunn's protest that some argue kind of sparked huge international change, or certainly shone light to what was happening in apartheid South Africa. Mm-hmm. Now, this, I thought, passed through the Shannon in the summer. People may recall those headlines. Why is it not over the line?
I think people got confused, Gavin, around that. Because it got through the second stage, it was my private member's bill, and because we got support from all the opposition parties, including Fianna Fáil, and I'm so grateful, because Niall Collins, who is the foreign affairs spokesperson for Fianna Fáil, he went to Palestine himself with Billy Kelleher, and he came back and he spoke to his own party colleagues and convinced them to support this legislation, because he, like me, saw the injustice that was going on. And thankfully Niall Collins is going to be at the meeting next Monday night in Limerick. So yeah, I mean, we've two more stages to go through in the Shannon.
Why is it not passing through if you have the majority? What's the holdup?
You see, any time legislation comes in, This was all very new to me, I can tell you, and it took me ages to get my head around it. When you bring in legislation, it has to go through three stages in the Shannon and then three stages in the Dáil. So it's a very long process, you know, and for me, I feel that we have to get the people of Ireland behind us, because anything could change in the process of bringing it in.
Sure.
So we've two more stages in the Shannon. And then we've three more stages in the Dáil. So I suppose I need the people of Ireland to get behind this legislation, and that's why we're coming to Limerick. I'd love to go. We'll probably do more after Christmas. We'll do more kind of public meetings after Christmas. But at the moment, we've been in Kildare. We're going to Nina tonight. We're going to be in Cork. We're going to be in Limerick. So, you know, we're travelling all over the place. And so Nina tonight and Limerick next Monday, and I'm hoping that we get a crowd there. I know we can't come to Clare, but we're hoping to come to Clare in the new year. But if you have any interest in this, in the beautiful county of Clare, please come to our Limerick public meeting next Monday night. We need as much support as we can get.
Well, that's 8 o'clock in the South Court Hotel. Senator Francis Black, appreciate your time. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Gormita Mahathir. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to a Clare FM podcast. Morning Focus broadcasts weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 midday.